Jesus, go ahead. Thank you. This is Sunday morning, 4:26:20. And I got something hanging in my craw and I got to get it out. Help me, Holy Spirit. We just sang that song the Lord gave me. Right here it says, "You've given me your righteousness. Come into your presence with confidence and boldness, making your requests known. And I don't mean anything against anybody, but I pray today that the body of Christ would get on the same page. There's all over the place. It's no wonder people are so goofed up and messed up. I have determined that I'm not going to listen to anybody else that does not discern the times. I don't care how big they are, how much money they have, how much long they've been in the ministry, or how many prophecies or angelic visitations or anything else they've had. If they're not discerning, rightly discerning the times, I don't want anything to do with them because they're not going the right direction. I heard an older prophet, he's been a prophet for a long time, say, I'm looking for that apostle that's carrying this over from the church age to the kingdom age. He said, I'm going to get behind him, I'm going to support him. There's those that will assist and not resist. He knows. Mm-hmm. I'm going to find out who's got the anointing for this, and I'm going to get in behind them, and I'm going to back them and help them all I can. Mm-hmm. Thought, that's the best attitude that I've heard in a long time. But what's really hung in my craw is this. I am just about fed up with hearing, repent. And they mean it in a way that we need to be repenting all the time, even calling national days of repentance. Well, that's okay for the sinner. But a person that's been made righteous in God, why are we repenting? I don't know, it's bothering me. I said, Lord, that bothers me greatly. Because if you've got this mentality, I'm always missing it. That's what that's saying. Repent actually means to change your mind. And if we could qualify that and say, let's just have a day that everyone will get a revelation of God. How about a national day of revelation? So we'd all change our mind and get our minds in line with God's will. Instead of this, oh, you dog, you know, who can come confidently to the throne of grace with this repent, repent, repent? I've heard that till I feel like I'm going to scream. Today was just the straw that broke the camel's back. We come with him with boldness. We're seated with him in the throne. Not that we are prideful, but we're confident. We're secure. I just am so ready. And if we truly are in the battle of Armageddon, I truly believe that we are the 144,000, and that's not everybody. That's a remnant. Not everybody's going to fight in the battle. There's only a few that have awoken to the place that they can. And God knows how many that is and who it is from all over the world. Not everybody is. Not everybody's going to ever fight in it. That doesn't mean that they're not going to heaven, don't get me wrong. Let's see, just a second. Okay, I think it's in this. I feel the Holy Spirit very heavy on me, and up here I just... No, I'm talking about I sense the anointing very strongly. Hold on. Okay, I got the right teaching. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Well, I guess it doesn't matter that the whole body of Christ is on the same page, just that the Lord's army is. Say, there's not a lot of Navy SEALs, not a lot of Army Rangers, not a lot of Green Berets. But they're the ones that do the heavy lifting. They're the ones that go in and they do strategic warfare. They make big impacts. People don't know about them. People don't see them. They go in stealth. Take out the enemy. You never know they've even been there. That's what God does. One taken, another one left. That's what's going on. Revelation. Matthew talks about that. One will be taken, the other left. Oh, but that's a rapture. No such. Okay, let's just get on with it. The name of this teaching today is called A Balanced Walk. It always amazes me. I really wanted to bring something else this morning. It was on the book of Revelation. But it's for television, but I will be bringing it in the future. So we'll get on with what the Lord gave me for today. I know a balanced walk can mean a lot of things depending on the individual. This is just the direction that the Lord led me to share with you today. A few months ago, I was watching Sid Roth, and he had a prophet on there that made this statement. He was so right on with what he said. He said, "How can you judge the White House if you not judged your house?" That is a very profound statement. It's like, he who hasn't sinned cast the first stone. That's why God tells us to pray first of all for our leaders. I'll get to that. How can we judge others if we have not judged ourselves first? Remember today, leaders have to walk in a higher anointing, whether they be natural or spiritual, and God holds them accountable. I was on WeGo a couple of days ago, and people were bashing a well-known faith preacher. They were even made a video of him mocking him. It was on the COVID. They were making fun of him. And even a programmer that I think very highly of, and I thought probably might be JFK Jr., posted it. And it disappointed me gravely. I just made me... it lowered my thinking about them. It disappointed me greatly. I never post on WeGo, but I left two posts to two awful comments made. One in particular, I just said, why would you say something calling this particular person demonic, that you can even see the demon in their eyes and all that? These are Christians posting this. I just thought, that's the most horrible thing I ever saw. And so when I post these couple of posts that I saw, I just posted, you know, we're told to pray for our leaders, not judge them, and we're told to judge ourselves so we would not be judged. I said, God chose them. God will be the one to judge them, and won't we leave that up to Him? Okay. Whether this ministry is dirty or not, it is not our place to judge them. People just don't get it, especially the church. The church has evolved into tribunals for every word that preachers speak or ministers, and this is totally unfair and so not their place. I've had it done to me. If they'd have had tar and feathers that day, they'd have probably done that too. We pray for our leaders first so that we can lead quiet and peaceable lives. See, Christians can't seem to digest what's not in their little sphere and what's not in their little Disneyland church or country club church. When you start talking about things that make them accountable for something, they begin to rile at you just like they did at Jesus. Crucify him! We pray for our leaders first so we can lead quiet and peaceable lives. Christians like this are no better than the left. Isn't that fake news? Isn't it the same thing? Is it the same tactics? That's all these sites are becoming, and I'm disappointed. This should be a place where the saints are rallying, and there are some on there that do that, but they're rallying and saying, being encouraging, and anytime somebody pops up with something like this, we need to shoot it down. That's fake news to me. When you get on there and you say you're a Christian and you're scared to death, they're fixing to tattoo you or they're fixing to give you a mark and make you take a vaccination and all this stuff, and you're not discerning the times of the sign of the times. Somebody needs to go. Listen, this is the truth. Stop fear-mongering. Stop pushing that. You're dividing the body of Christ by your negativity. Our judges are the highest say in our land. How can we judge them if we have not judged ourselves? We must be careful as the church to stay on the right side of things. Q said this, disinfo is necessary. Those that we perceive to be bad, if we trash and bash them, won't we feel stupid if when it's all over they were actually on our side? Also, the deep state also watches the boards. They get on 8kun and they watch what Q posts, and so if we're understanding it, they're understanding it. If we don't understand it, they don't understand it. Sometimes he'll say something's going to happen a certain day and it never seems to. Why? They're trying to throw off the enemy. It's a tactic. Okay. 1 Corinthians 4. Therefore, judge nothing before the time. This is 1 Corinthians 4, 5. Until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. Everybody loves to get on there and just run their mouths, but they will do nothing about anything. Just run their negative mouths. To me, it thwarts the plan of God. Matthew 7, 1. I feel like saying this. Somebody wants to judge me, I'll say, well, who are you? Not to be arrogant and prideful, but we are to be confident as the children of God. Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? There's one translation that says, what about the toothpick in your brother's eye when you got a telephone pole in yours? Oh, how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. So Jesus, you know, the woman that was taken in adultery, you know, he who is without sin, cast the first stone. I believe we can report facts and give general information, but we are to never trash others' character, especially our leaders. It is well known that the president keeps his friends close and his enemies closer. So how can you know for sure at this point unless facts are there, or, you know, if they're friend or foe? Now, sometimes Q will tell you right out what they are, you know. Yes, and the president does that too. Yes, this all has to do with a balanced walk. A balanced walk consists of obedience and love. Okay, we're going to look at obedience. Judges. Chapter 7. No, 13, sorry. All right. And the children of Israel, this is verse 1, did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines 40 years. There was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. He shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the woman, I need to stop a minute. The Holy Spirit just said to me, as individuals, God deals with us. You know, like I said, there's a general will of God, but there is a defined will of God, that God expects some things of others and not of others. And for us to cast an eye of judgment on them because they do what they do or they don't do what they do, that's not right. How can you judge another man's brother? Another man's servant is what God, Jesus said. So we have to be careful, because we have to realize all of us are not called to do the same thing. Yes, we all are to win the lost. We all walk by faith. We all speak in tongues. But we are not doing the same thing. We have different fields to plow. God has hooked us up with different kinds of ministries. Not all ministries, but He will hook us up where He wants to hook us up. And we're not all going to be doing the same thing. So to use that as criticism because they're not doing it our way is wrong. How can we know if God has instructed them to do that? How can we know that they're wrong? I think that's probably one of the biggest things in church that I was always unhappy about, was the simple fact that I never seemed to fit. Well, it's because, you know, of course, maybe my gift hadn't made room for me yet, but also, I wasn't called to do what they did. Just didn't fit. That's why there's so many churches and so many different ministries, because people are called to do certain things and they fit in places, and then other places they don't fit in. Does it mean they don't love God or love the people there? No, it doesn't mean that. It just means we're different. We got an eyeball church over here. We got an ear church over here. Or a fellowship or a ministry. They're doing what the ear does. But if you're an eye, you're going to be very unhappy there. I can remember Keith Moore talking about toe, being a toe. You know, you're being a, here you are, a hand, and you want to be a toe. He said, you join all the toe clubs, buy all the toe paraphernalia, but you're still not happy. You do everything you can to fit in, and you just never fit in. It's because you're a hand, and you'll never fit into the toe bunch. It's like Brother Copeland said, if you put plumbers and roofers together, you're going to have commodes on the roof. That makes sense? When we all can accept each other in our callings and what God has called us to do, though it be different, then we can keep from judging one another. Because when you start judging somebody, it makes them doubt their faith. It gets them discouraged. And in this time and hour, the oppression's great. And we all need encouragement more than anything else. We need to know we have each other's back, whether we agree totally with you or not. What difference does it make? If you're fulfilling God's will, so be it. Then the woman came and told her husband, saying, a man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God. Very terrible. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told he me his name. But he said unto me, behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and now drink no wine or strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. You know, it's throughout the scriptures that God tells people to do weird things. I don't forget what prophet he was that he had him lay on his side for all these months and told him to cook his food with human dung, and the Lord relented and let him do it with animal dung. You remember that? Mm-hmm. Weird. Going, what's that got to do with anything? Obedience. Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us and teach us what we should do unto the child that shall be born. Will you, idiot? You just heard your wife say, don't. There it is. You're not to have any wine or strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing for the child. The child would be a Nazarite. But the woman was instructed to do these things, even with him in the womb. And her husband, well, let's find out what this, I'm going, sounds like a bunch of people I know around. Here you're saying the word of the Lord. Well, we better go get the Lord's mind on it. We need a sign here. God hearkened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came again unto the woman, and she sat in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not with her. And the woman made haste and ran and showed her husband and said unto him, Behold, the man hath appeared unto me that came unto me the other day. And Manoah rose and went after his wife and came to the man and said unto him, Art thou the man that speakest unto the woman? And he said, I am. Manoah said, Now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child and how shall we do unto him? In other words, he didn't believe his wife. And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, Of all that I said unto the woman, I already spoke to the woman. Let her beware. She may not eat of anything that cometh of the vine, neither let her drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing that I have commanded her. Let her observe. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain thee until we shall have made ready a kid for thee. And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, Though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread. And if thou wilt offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord. For Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, What is thy name? And when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor. Here's one of these ones got to have signs. Hey, I spell shrine. Angelic visitation. We see a couple of camps here. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, Why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is secret? So Manoah took a kid with meat offering and offered it upon a rock and unto the Lord. And the angel did wondrously, and Manoah and his wife looked on. For it came to pass when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. And Manoah and his wife looked on and fell on their faces to the ground. But the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. Manoah said unto his wife, We shall surely die because we have seen God. I'm going, what? Say what? He just told you you're going to have a son. He's going to be special. I thought, there's some people just never will get it, will they? But his wife said unto him, she was the brains in this family. But his wife said unto him, If the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received the burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands, neither would he have showed us all these things, nor would as at this time have told us such things as these. And the woman bare a son and called his name Samson, and the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. Okay, now I want to go over to Judges 16. So Samson was mighty in strength as long as he kept the Nazarite vow. All right, 16. He did some mighty things. And I think, you know, a lot of people portray him in the movies as looks like Hercules, but I believe he was an ordinary man, and they could not figure out. They tried everything to trick him, to try to get the secret of his strength. So that tells me he was either a very small, like a Barney Fife-looking person, or it's just a normal person who no way could have the strength that he had. So the devil sought to uncover his secret, to take him out. Then went Samson to Gaza and saw there a harlot and went in unto her. He was told the Gazites, saying, Samson is come hither. It's probably his dad. Sound like his dad, the way he was. Maybe he just spoiled him because he was pretty spoiled. He was a very spoiled. He didn't want to go keep within his own tribe to marry, as the word of God says. He began to venture outside. But the scripture kind of indicates that God was in it because he needed to get into the Philistine camp. Okay. And they compassed him in and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city and were quiet all the night, saying in the morning, When it is day, we shall kill him. And Samson lay until midnight and arose at midnight and took the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts and went away with them, bar and all. Bone and all. And put them upon his shoulders and carried them on the top of an hill that was before Hebron. It came to pass after that that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came unto her and said unto her, entice him. See wherein his great strength lies, if it is stuck with what God gave him. He was beginning to be enticed away from what God had laid down for him. And by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and we will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. And Delilah said to Samson, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. What's wine got to do with anything? What's a box of raisins got to do with anything? What is, whether you get a haircut or not, what has it got to do with anything? Nothing. Except obedience. Except God said for you to do it, but everybody else gets to do it. Lord, it's not fair. Well, he got afflicted. They tormented him. Just keep going. And Samson said unto her, if they bind me with 7 green that were never dried, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 green, whatever those are, which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Now there were men lying in wait. Boy, I tell you, he was love struck or something. How could he not perceive? She's a Jezebel. Abiding with her in the chamber, and she said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson, and he break the, whatever those things are, as a thread of tow is broken when he toucheth the fire, so his strength was not known. And Delilah said unto Samson, behold, thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, if thou bind me fast with new ropes that never were occupied, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Delilah therefore took new ropes and bound him therewith and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson, and there were liers in wait abiding in the chamber, and he brake them from off his arms like a thread. Either he knew they were there and he was just arrogant, or he was dumb to not know she sabotaged him over and over again. And Delilah said unto Samson, hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound. He said unto her, if thou weavest the 7 locks of my head with the web, and she fastened it with the pin, said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awakened out of his sleep and went away with the pin of the beam and with the web. Or he thought, maybe they'll never get it out of me. Maybe there was some pride there. And she said unto him, how canst thou say I love thee when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these 3 times and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. And it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me and I shall become weak and be like any other man. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the Lord of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he has showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in her hand, and she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man. She caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head and to begin to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. He awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and brought him under fetters and brass, brought him with fetters and brass, and did grind in the prison house. Howbeit, when the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Now we know what happens at the end. His strength returns and he brings down the house. But he dies. He dies. Okay, 1 Samuel 15. You know, sometimes the Lord can speak things to us and we just blow them off like they're, no, okay, like it's a suggestion. We ought not do that. 1 Samuel 15. He's trying to keep us out of trouble, you understand? Samuel didn't have to go that way. I'm not Samuel, Samson. Okay, 15:1. Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. And Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to a city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. And Saul said unto the Kenites, go, depart, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For ye showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. Amalek, their descendant, talking about the book of Esther, Amalek was Haman. Descended. And God hated the Amalek, you know what happened to Haman? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse that they destroyed utterly. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. When Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set up a place, is gone about and passed on and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul and said unto him, blessed be thou the Lord, I perform the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, what meanest then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites. For the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night. And he said unto him, say on. Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners of the Amalekites and fight against them until they are consumed. Wherefore didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag the son of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal, instead of him saying, you're right, Lord, I missed it, forgive me. Well, the people did it. He blamed the people. Samuel said, hath the Lord this great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Like, you can pray for hours, read your Bible for hours, make confession for hours, do good deeds, give big offerings. But if you haven't obeyed those things, it's those little foxes that spoil the vine. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. Wear yourself out. And to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. All right. We can read for hours, confess for hours, pray in the Spirit for hours, do good deeds, but if we don't follow God's instructions, we are just a waste of time. We must walk by the fruit of the Spirit also. The first fruit is love. The Holy Spirit quickened to me that if you have the love right, then love never fails. So you'll get the others right also. Because it's the first one in the lineup. And he gave me a take on love that I had never seen before. Let's go ahead and read that. This is Galatians 5. I didn't put this down, but yesterday the Lord spoke to me and said, well, I've mentioned it to Danny, a person that will not accept the Lord, what you see, the depravity that you see in these people and what they've resorted to and what they've come to, this is what human nature does without God. It evolves to that putrid, awful, terrible. Like the president said, he said, they are scum. They are human scum. That was the exact words. He's talking about the FBI, the top, the corrupt ones in the FBI, what they did to General Flynn, which he's fixing to be exonerated. Woohoo! Anyway, yeah, human flesh is awful without the restraining of the Holy Ghost in their life. All right, this is verse 16 of chapter 5. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the Spirit lusteth against the flesh lusteth against the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. So if we learn to walk in the Spirit, simple things the Lord speaks to us to do, we do. See, it keeps us in the Spirit. Ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. They won't. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, or envying one another. See, when we walk in the Spirit, it's just peace. This is what the 1,000 years of peace is going to be like. It is also good to get our facts straight. Then we won't relay disinformation. The Lord really spoke that to me. This is the great awakening. This is a time where we need to be led by the Spirit to tell people things, but to tell them right information. Tell them the truth. Tell them what you know, that it's true. Okay, 2 Corinthians 13. Verse 1. This is the third time I'm coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. I think it'd just be a good rule. If you're passing on information, you got some facts. You've got some things that back it up. I never want to be the one that would knowingly or unknowingly lead anyone astray. Ever. That's why I give so much scripture in my teaching and even on Sunday morning. Even when the Lord gives me a word of prophecy, I take and I apply scripture to it. As Christians, we don't want to minimize our Holy Ghost power. We really need the Holy Spirit empowerment. For ours is not a physical battle, but a spiritual one. To help our boots on the ground warriors to take out the demonic forces of the evil one, we must keep our words full of power. And I was telling Danny, I heard the guy, Gene, he's got all the information on the dumbs. This man, he said that the church needs to keep praying because the military are dealing with demonic entities down there, and they talked about they've got special weapons that those things just blow up in a poof of smoke. Now whether they're Nephilim hybrids, I don't know. I don't understand all that. I just know the Lord said they're from the underworld. And there, those things go 800 feet down some places, or 800 miles down, excuse me. Some of the biggest places, 800 miles. Oh, yes, sir. Okay, so we need to continue to pray for them because we are covering them as they go into these places. Now, I don't know where these, there's a couple that were 800 miles down. I don't know where they are. I remember him saying where they were. It's not in the United States. Okay. They're literally dealing with the evil, with evil to rescue these children. In my television series, Full Disclosure, the Lord spoke to me about the Nephilim, the AKA ETs, and all those associated things, that they were from the underworld. Now my understanding is a little more clear. It's not just hell we're talking about here, because it's the lake of fire, there's the pit, there's hell. Well, it may be the pit, because that's where the Antichrist comes out of. That's where the beast comes out. When the beast comes out, there's two beasts come up out of the pit, the Antichrist, the false prophet. Okay. Well, they're going into the underworld. They're doing this underground war. This is like a war. They said in World War II, they did this kind of warfare. Dug tunnels. Okay, Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are to represent Christ and seek to restore, not to critique. Even if we feel like the person, what they're saying or doing, is maybe not doctrinally correct, because people are in different walks in their revelation. I mean, I know when we started in, I didn't know any of what I know now when we started this nearly 6 years ago. In this round, I didn't know any of the stuff that I know now when we started. So, and I'm already changing my view on the book of Revelation, even after the first change. Like, it's just with newer revelation coming, you just upgrade.
Yeah.
Download or whatever it is. Upload. We as seekers of truth must hear, but not always say, unless the Lord releases us to do so, or it is qualified. This is Q Post 29 or 3929. Patriots, be cautious in your interpretations of info posted. False expectations and push based on speculation will only weaponize those who attack us, like the MSM. That's the mainstream media. Why does MSM expend resources daily attempting to discredit? The president made us comment. They've discovered, which it's been around all along, but even Q brought, there was a Q post that had this object that just kind of floated, you know, and the name of the company was Sun something. Well, they have found that this virus, it responds to ultraviolet light, that all viruses do, and that sunlight and special light, even in the hospital, they can use special light to drive these things out of a person's body. And he said something about, could they do some disinfecting on the inside? Well, they took it and ran with it, and they started accusing him of telling people to drink bleach and to drink just, you know, just stuff like that. And the president said, I've had it. I'm not having any more pressers. All they do is come to criticize and try to trap me in everything I say. And he didn't say that. He no way said that. All right. Here. Why does MSM expend resources daily attempting to discredit? With a question mark. Do you provide the playbook to the enemy with specific dates? People saying, well, this is going to happen. This is 3 days of darkness. This is going to happen. Blah, 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 blah. That's what I mean. They run their mouth 24/7. Blah, 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 blah. And nothing happens. Well, sometimes maybe it was supposed to happen because they did what they did. It ruined the... I don't ever post anything because I don't believe I have... I'm not an Anon for sure. Logical thinking. This is cute. This is the plan. Listen to it. That's what he's saying. Quit saying, when are we going to have a mess? When are we going to have this? This is where all this disinfo and all this stuff gets started. FISA indictments equals start. When the FISA drops, indictments are be unsealed. Public justice. Now look at this, future proves past, events unlock. These are all the things I'm going to say are what's already happened. People are like, nothing's happening, nothing's happening. You always say that, nothing happens. Well, I'm out of here, I'm just tired of this. Indictments. And Huber, is it Huber? Or Whitaker? No, Huber. He said, he said he will not have any, he won't have any statements. He will just be,
Durham.
He will be delivering indictments. Yeah. Indictments have already had a grand jury that has agreed there's enough evidence to convict. So when they open them, they can take them straight to Gitmo. All right, this is what's happened. Q's telling us, quit getting all bent out of shape. Quit speculating. Quit trying to guess everything we're doing. This is undercover. We don't want it disclosed. So this is what's happened. So let's stop all of this. Be on our side, not against us. Think CEO departures. There's been like 12,000. Think FBI departures. Think DOJ departures. Think State departures. That's State Department. Think White House departures. Think DIA departures. Think Pentagon departures. Think Senate departures. Think House departures. You can go and look on QMAP.pub and see all the resignations and where they were. People saying nothing's happening. Think ambassador departures. Think IG departures. Think judge install. He has installed 192 or 94 judges. Supreme Court, federal, Court of Appeals. Think Supreme Court install. Think White House install. Think FBI install. Think C_A install. Think DOJ install. Think Attorney General install. Game theory. You see what he's doing? It's all under the radar. Drip, 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 drip. This is the way he's done it, and it's probably going to be that way all the way through. I'm tired of it, waiting around. Well, I'll tell you what, it could be worse for you. You could be the ones going into those tunnels. Game theory. If you look, you can see. Q. One more. Q post 3928. Together we will win. Where we go one, we go all. Q. We got to be on the same team. The Lord just drove that home to me. You are the warriors, the spiritual warriors that are backing those soldiers going into those places. We need to take it seriously. Quit looking so much. I got to have a sign before I believe. If we're not in the end times, we're not in as far as the end of the church age, yes, but if we're not in Armageddon, I've never known any other time in history. We don't have anywhere to go, do we? What's all these? You okay? Okay. The Q-op, they're composed of Christians and patriots. They quote scripture all the time. They encourage us. They've quoted the put on the whole armor of God many, many, many times through all their posts. They know the times we are in, and they're encouraging us to help in this battle of Armageddon and not to hinder it. There was even one by Cyril Brain, which I hated that they persecuted him enough that he quit doing what he's doing, because he one of the posts he brought was about the president has even said to the deep state, don't you know that I'm the chosen one? Don't you know that I'm the one that God has sent? It's time for the thousand-year reign or something like that is what it said, talking about Jesus. He knows. Don't you sell him short. He lets people think he's just a dummy. The MSM tries to discredit him that he doesn't know what he's talking about. They've discredited him about everything about this coronavirus. Everything he said is true. And it's all coming to light. This man is brilliant. And he knows. He knows. So don't sell him short. This info is to keep us encouraged so we can pray and say and do spiritual warfare. If we do not want to aid and abet the enemy in any way, we're going to have to follow these. We are General Flynn's digital soldiers, whether we realize it or not. Not everyone will fight in this fight, it is obvious, but God is like that, you know. Okay, Judges 6. Sometimes I grieve about the ones that won't wake up or won't show even any interest in waking up, you know. But after I read this, it made me feel a little better. And after the Lord gave me this, it made me feel a little better, thinking not everybody is going to be in the fight. It's kind of like in our country. Is everybody in the military? Now, there's some countries where you're required. Every male is required to go into the military for a certain time. I know Joseph Prince in Singapore, it's required. But not here. Judges 6:1. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. Because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens, which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. We can read that in Hebrews chapter 11, where they hid in caves. And so it was, when Israel had sown, that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them, and they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth, till they come into Gaza and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass. For they came up with their cattle. You know that you'd think Israel would get it. How many times have they been in exile because they've disobeyed the Lord? Here's a prime example of what I'm talking about today. Following the Lord's ways, doing what the Lord says, keeps you out of trouble, keeps you out of pain, keeps you out of misery. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude. For both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up out of the land of Egypt, or brought you up from Egypt, brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God, fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. And there came an angel of the Lord and said unto an oak which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, his son Gideon's threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. He was one of those woke, he had a wake-up call like the ones that are woke today, the great awakening. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us, and where be all his miracles, which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Because they disobeyed. They didn't follow the covenant. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of Midian. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in all my father's house. So he was like Moses. I disqualified himself. Well, I stutter. So I can't be the one. But God saying, Oh yes, you be the one. I'm waking you up for this time and this hour. That's what he's doing to us. That's what he's been doing. The virgins have awakened. That's what I'm seeing in this. They trimmed their lamps. What did Gideon use? They used a lamp. Come on. Judges 7. Then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him rose up early and pitched beside the tent of Herod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Morah in the valley, or Moriah, or whatever. And the Lord said unto Gideon, The people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands. Did you hear that? too many people came that I can't deliver with all those people. The 144,000, the Jews. You know who the true Jews are? It's not those who are flesh and blood. Spiritual Jews. We are the Israel. Now, Israel's been put up here on some kind of pedestal, which I think it's a little bit off. But I'd never touch their land. They've got a natural covenant with God. And I respect that. Mm-hmm. But the ones he's going to gather from all the corners of the earth are the spiritual Jews. This is 144,000. And then later you see in that chapter, you see multitudes. But you see the 12,000. I mean the 144,000, the 12 tribes. The 12 tribes have been scattered throughout the earth. Do you know that? Mm-hmm. They have been. And some of them have lost their lineage. Whether they be grafted in or be true Jews that accept their Messiah, it doesn't really matter. Okay, because there's no affiliation or no wall. No male or female. No Jew, no Greek. All right. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. So we, the swamp drainers, the army of the Lord, the remnant, the Lord using a handful, like General Flynn says, a handful of digital soldiers, to be the power behind the military to go in and to do this work. Now therefore go to, proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whoever is fearful and afraid, let him return. Depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned to the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. So those that were fearful and afraid, in fact, they didn't know if they believed or not. They didn't know if they believed or not. They're those skeptics, those that, if they don't have 150 questions answered, they just won't believe. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down unto the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whosoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought down the people into the water, and the Lord said unto Gideon, every one that lappeth of the water with his tongue, as a dog lappeth, him shall thou set by himself. Likewise, every one that boweth down upon his knees to drink, and the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, was 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. Do you see the difference in the behavior? The ones that were watchful. They're always looking and watching very well what's going on at all times. Others are just, you know, anything could happen. They don't see the enemy coming. He sent them home. Not everybody qualifies. Are they all Christians? They're all going to go to heaven? Yeah. But there's those he's chosen to awaken for this time. I don't know if you heard about the 100 monkey. It's called the 100 monkey theory. It talks about a group of monkeys. And the monkeys would eat sweet potatoes. They'd dig them out of the sand and they'd eat it with the sand and everything. Well, there was one monkey that went and washed the potato in the water. Well, the other monkeys saw what that monkey did, so they started washing their potatoes in the water. And then they found that monkeys all over the islands that never even were around these monkeys began to do the same thing that that monkey did. So this is the theory that they say about the awakening, about people. It's like a spirit. We're connected. People begin to be influenced. If you don't believe that, just watch what this stupid virus has done.
Monkey see, monkey
do. Right. I mean, the whole world shut down over the flu. Mm-hmm. All right. They were small in number, but mighty in power. Those that weren't watchful, God sent home. The awakened ones went into the battle and won. Loose lips sink ships. So many today just want to run their mouths, but they will never do anything. Our words are our greatest weapon or our worst nightmare. Proverbs 18:21, death or life are in the power of the tongue. That's why God needs those that are serious about this. They know they're in a spiritual battle, and that it's death or life to those going into the tunnels and those being rescued from the tunnels. For our government, all these things, it's a serious thing. I don't need to put up with your disbelief going down the road. Just don't be upset anymore if somebody doesn't want it. Or let them ask you. Don't try to push it on them. Let them ask you, because they may not be part of it. We can be safe by following what Q said on the boards. Send people to qmap.pub and let them see for themselves who the players are and whether they be patriots or traitors. Get them researching for themselves. We don't have to be all the answers. We don't. They need to find the answers for themselves that'll wake them up. Now, I know someone in my family that's a real skeptic, and I'm not talking about you. She was at least the type of person that went and researched it herself to see if it's really true. The love walk is not just spoken words. Now this is huge. This is huge. The love walk is not just spoken words. Just because you say a wrong word does not mean you're not in your love walk. It is a heart condition. I'd say it's a spirit condition. Jesus said right here, Matthew, because, you know, I remember a word Danny had for me about the Lord said that I loved people and I just wanted to help people. And I've gotten myself in more trouble with my mouth than anybody. I remember hearing Joyce Meyer say, you know, my mouth is my greatest gift, but it's also my biggest downfall. As far as sometimes saying things and people misunderstand it. And I found that out that a lot of prophets have the same thing they deal with, because they're hearing things from the Lord and it's a little, God's not like people. And trying to interpret what God is saying and getting it to a person where they can understand what God is saying. Okay. This is 15. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me, one of the first steps of love, I'm in Matthew 7. What the Lord just quickened to me, he said, I said, if you love me, keep my commandments. This goes along with this. Just because you lose your temper or you may say a word that was wrong does not mean you stepped out of your love walk. It goes deeper than that. Many of you will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not our prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Okay. Jesus called the Pharisees and Sadducees vipers, dead men's bones, whitewashed graves that strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. How was he able to do this? He loved them. He loved them. I've had to speak some strong words. I've lost friendships over it. But I gave them exactly what the Lord gave me, and they asked me to pray. And they crucified me. Not literally, but with their words. And I'm no longer friends with them. I love them. And I pray for them. because I want to see them be well. See, your love walk. See, the devil takes things and he tries to accuse and keep you under and feeling inadequate, feeling like, you know, that's what I mean about the repentance thing. It's not being presented in a way, change your mind for the better. It's being portrayed that you're not good enough, you hadn't prayed enough, you hadn't read enough, you hadn't done enough, you hadn't this enough and that enough. How can you, I mean, it's like you bum, you worm. It shouldn't be that way. I said, well, Lord, you know, how much repenting can you do? If the Lord tells you to repent of something, I guess you do it. But I think after you've been born again, there is no more repentance. Because it's changing your mind. Does that mean the Lord won't ever say, well, you maybe need to go apologize or something like that? You know, of course. But this old beat down, one of the church fell asleep. No wonder they quit going. Jesus could say those things to them because he loved them. That doesn't mean I have the right to get up here and bash you. That's not what I'm saying here. But there's times that the Lord gives us things to share with people that may not be fun to hear. But they're for our good. I mean, sometimes the Lord says stuff to me, and I think, you just think there's nothing left till he lays something else on you. What this is about is walking the balanced walk. The balanced walk of obeying the Lord and your love walk. And that love walk is in your heart. You love people. That's where you love people. Even though you can get aggravated with them. And you can maybe say, be harsh sometimes. And it's kind of like with your kids. You love them, but they drive you up the wall. You want to knock them into next week at times. Grandkids too. But no, then you step back and say, I know, Lord, they're coming around. I just have to work with them and be patient. It's the same way. God knows in your heart, are you a hireling? John 10. The hireling cares nothing for the sheep, even though he puts on a big show that he does. But the true shepherd will be the one that got that hook yank over here when he sees you on the wrong path, too. Yeah. Okay.